comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And let me say that you need to know about something very special. If you're new to the Kevin Smith Show, you don't know that we have a free weekly newsletter, and you need to know that. So go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. You'll see it. It's a little button, and it's got red letters, and it says K-Files E-Zine. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's absolutely free. There are no strings attached, my friends, and we mean that. Oh, also, we don't let anybody have our email list. We don't rent it out, lease it, or in any other way, distribute the email list. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed to the K-Files e-zine. Well, you know, we've gotten some calls over the past, I would say, 6 months or so. We've gotten some calls about the so-called new internet. And this is not exactly the new internet, what I'm about to tell you, but it certainly foreshadows things to come. Comcast has now made it official. They are going to limit the amount of bandwidth that users can use per month. Now, it's a pretty good amount of bandwidth, but they are going to limit you, if you're on Comcast, to 250 gigabytes. That's upload and download. And I have some questions about this. I don't know really. For instance, what if you're using one of the telephone services like Vonage? Well, of course, that's VOIP. That's Voice Over Internet Protocol. So how does that affect your 250-gigabyte limit? Or some of you are using Magic Jack. How does that affect your 250-gigabyte limit? I mean, is that metered like uploads and downloads? I don't know. It doesn't say. It simply talks about uploads and downloads. So I don't know, but there are others that have said, other internet service providers, that have said they are going to follow suit. They are going to do some sort of trial limitation. So limits on the internet are coming, and I guess we'll all just have to get used to yet another reduction in our freedoms. But I, on the one hand, I understand the companies wanting to have some limits and then charge you extra if you use extra. I can understand their desire to do that. But this, as I said, I think simply foreshadows further limits that will come to the internet. And I think we are going to see the demise of the internet as we know and understand and have come to love the internet. Not overnight, but I think it will happen. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Open Line Live tonight, so we can rock and roll with whatever it is that's on your mind. We'll be back.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network
is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Kevin Smith Show, and I am the Kevin Smith, and this is Open Line Live. Now, that means that we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about tonight. I have, of course, brought a few topics to the table. But Open Line Live means that if you decide that you want to talk about a topic different than I am discussing, all you have to do is give us a call, and that will happen. You just give us a call and tell us what's on your mind, and we'll talk about it. Now, you may have a question or two that you've wanted to ask of me. I'll be happy to answer it if I know the answer. You may have a comment or two that you've wanted to make to me or to the audience. Well, this is your chance. It's Open Line Live, and we'll be more than happy to accept your calls. Now, the telephone number for that is 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. Now, there are some pretty interesting things in the news. Gary McKinnon. And I, you know, this kind of fell by the wayside for a while, but it's back in the news. Gary McKinnon is the guy over in Great Britain that hacked into U.S. military computers. He says he was looking for UFO information, and that he just kind of roamed around in these computers. And actually, I think he did it for a couple of years. But then he finally got caught, and so the United States government has been pressing for his extradition, and several levels of the judiciary over there in Great Britain have ruled that he can be extradited to the United States to stand trial. What I wonder about this is... And finally, he appealed to the European Court and or the European Parliament, and they rejected his appeal, and so now he's going to be extradited. And I would like to know what you think about this. Should Gary McKinnon be extradited? He's going to be, whether you think he should be or not. It's going to happen now. Should he be placed on trial? Do you see any crime that he has committed here? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yes, Don.
How are you doing tonight?
I am doing well, sir.
Yeah, just to let you know, your audio, right after the commercial or right after Jerry Wills spoke, you have no audio in it anymore in your Mac player.
Okay, there's no audio going in there, huh?
Yeah, it just cut out right after the commercial, so I'm listening to it through broadband right now, the broadband player.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the meter, and it's jumping over there, so we should have audio.
Okay, I'll check again. Anyways, I just didn't catch it until I heard you on the line here when I was awaiting the... You talked to me about the Jerry McKenna or the McKenna.
Gary McKenna.
Yeah. At first, I defended him because I understood that he did not hack anything that he got in through where there was no password required. But I understand now from reading a different story now that this is true. That was the case with some of the areas he entered, but he actually did hack other areas, and he was maliciously vandalizing these computers, these military computers out of just spite. And it sounds like to me he is very guilty of what he did. I think he was just sitting behind his desk and had no... whatsoever, getting caught, and he thought he just could get away with this. And
Don, you and I both deal a lot with email, and you know that there are people that will send you email that roar like a lion and say all kinds of nasty things, where if you were looking them in the face, in the eye, they probably would not even make a sound. I mean, mice become lions because they think they're anonymous on the internet. And, to me, the idea that you go in someone else's computer uninvited, that's the same as breaking into their home. And, you go in there uninvited, whether you hack in or whether you just go in there some way. That's illegal. He did this for like two and a half years he did this?
I didn't catch how long it was, but yeah, he was very malicious what he did. He was very vindictive what he did. And my understanding, he was smoking marijuana at the time and drinking beer, and he just probably figured, hey, he's having a good time, and nobody's going to catch him. But like you said, people become different animals when they're behind their computer monitor. They think that, they're not facing you. They can get away with saying anything. And I've noticed that myself since I've been online for many years. And it's the same thing. We try to tell people how it is in Phoenix on the highways here, how bad it is. And people from other towns and states don't realize exactly how bad it is. But people get in their cars the same way. They're not directly facing you, so they become animals. They become a different person.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, and thanks for letting me know about that audio situation.
Okay, Kevin. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. Okay. Well, Don called and said that our video feed did not have good audio after the break. So we got that fixed. The telephone number is 602-539-3316, 602-539-3316. And if you call that number, we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Now, Gary McKinnon says, well, I was just looking for UFO information. All right. Let's say that McKinnon came to your house while you were away, and by whatever means, maybe he didn't break a window, and maybe even the door was left unlocked. So he just comes in and wanders around your house, goes all over your house, looks at everything you've got, And then when he gets caught, he says, well, I was just looking for UFO information. Would he have committed a crime? He didn't break in. Would that be a crime? The door was left unlocked. He didn't break a window. He just walked up, found the door was unlocked, and he came in. Would that be a crime? Well, it would only be a crime in a certain number of states, 50. And that's how many there are, by the way, 50. It would be a crime in every province in Canada. It would be a crime in every county of the UK. It would be a crime in every county of Australia. It's not called breaking and entering. That's a myth. You know what it's called? Unauthorized entry, or in some places it's actually called burglary. But it's against the law in virtually every place in the world. You can't just go into someone's house and wander around and look around and see whatever it is you want to see. You just can't do that. Not without their permission. And if you do it and you get caught, you get charged and you have to stand trial. And if you are convicted, you go to jail. The same thing applies whenever you just wander into someone's computer. And you just look around and say, well, let me see what's here. And apparently, that's what he did. Apparently, what McKinnon did, is he just wandered around all through all these U.S. military and government computers and just took a look, see what's here. He says, well, I was only looking for UFO information. You know what? That doesn't make it okay. That, I don't care what you're looking for. If you come in my house without my permission, you are a criminal. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. What matters is how you got in there. If you're in there without permission, you've broken a law. Now, I've had guests on this show who have said, you know, I don't think McKinnon should be prosecuted. You know, in fact, I've had guests that said, you know, I think Gary McKinnon is sort of a hero. Well, whatever information it is that he found about UFOs and that he has now disclosed, sure, it's interesting. It's very interesting. But it was obtained illegally, in my opinion. And so McKinnon is now facing trial in the United States of America. His last appeal has been turned down. His lawyer, Karen Todner, from a firm called Kaim Todner Solicitors, said that her client, that would be Gary McKinnon, is distraught about the decision, and he has now called on the Home Secretary, Jacques Smith, or Jacques, I am sorry, I cannot pronounce French names well, but perhaps it's pronounced Jack Smith, to intervene. So even though he has no more legal appeals, he's now called upon the Home Secretary to intervene and to keep him from being extradited to the United States. Our flash line is open, and for those of you who live outside of the United States and outside of Canada, you can use the flash line. You simply send me an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, and we will check it frequently, and I will read your flash message. And but you have to be outside of the USA and outside of Canada to use the flash messaging, all right? If you're inside the United States, inside of Canada, give me a telephone call. The telephone number is 602-539-3316. Now, I've had guests on the show who were sort of in Gary McKinnon's corner on this, and they said, you know, hey, we think the guy should not be prosecuted, and the only reason they're going after him is because he looked for and found UFO information. Well, let's take that out of the equation. Let's just take it out of the equation entirely. Because I've also had people from the audience call in with similar statements. Let's take the UFO thing out of it entirely. Would he still be prosecuted? If you knew that there was a guy sitting in Singapore or Beijing or Cape Town, South Africa, or wherever, Istanbul, and this guy wandered around through all these Pentagon computers and hacked into some of them and left malicious messages left a trail through the computers that he had been there. And then we found out who it was. Would you want the government to prosecute that person for invading U.S. computers? Would you want him prosecuted? Now let's take it out of the USA and take that out of the equation. Let's say it was Canada. Let's say it was Germany, Japan, France, the UK. If he had done that to computers in the UK, do you think they would be prosecuting him? That's a good question, don't you think? If Gary McKinnon had gone into the military computers of the United Kingdom, not the United States, but the United Kingdom, do you think that the courts in the United Kingdom would be going after him? I think they would, but I could be wrong about that. And if I am wrong about it, someone from the UK needs to explain to me why they think that he would not be prosecuted. I think he would be prosecuted. If he did that to Australia, if he did that to pick a country, the Netherlands, Sweden, we have listeners in all those places I've mentioned. If someone, either Gary McKinnon or someone else, went into the government computers, the military computers of your home country, where you're from, where you live, wouldn't you think they would be prosecuting him? I'd like to know if that's what you think, and I'd like to know if you think should he be prosecuted? Secondly, do you think that the number of years that he faces behind bars, the potential maximum number of years, is about right, or do you think that it is perhaps a bit steep? Now, I have heard that he is facing somewhere in the neighborhood of around 70 years. 70 years behind bars. Personally, I think that's a bit steep. Maybe you don't, but I do. Now, I think probably if he were to get a maximum of 10 years, I think 10's pretty steep. But I think probably a maximum of 10 years, and it might be a better thing. Might be a little bit more of a just sentence. But again, I am only one person. That's just my opinion about it all. And look, I'm as interested in UFO information as anybody, maybe more than a lot of folks, because, I mean, I'm looking at this stuff and interviewing people all the time. So I find it very interesting, the things that McKinnon said that he found whenever he went in all these computers, the things that he says he found related to UFOs. Now, last night, there were some people, let me change the subject just a little bit. There were some people last night that said they had difficulty calling in on 602-539-3316. So we'll open up the other phone line just in case. If you have trouble with that first one, the one that's on the website, write this number down. It is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814, and both of those lines are open if you wish to call in and comment on Gary McKinnon. Now, you may think, okay, well, I just don't think it's that big a deal. I'm not interested in it. It's not that big a deal. Well, it is because, you see, I said if we take the UFO component out of it, then would he still be prosecuted? And I think he would be. But when you can't take that component out because it's there. And the whole world knows it's there. All right, now, I've only taken it out for the sake of discussion so that we can discuss whether it is a right thing for him to be prosecuted. That's the only reason I said let's take that out of the discussion. But now, we can't take it out of the real facts. It's there. And because it's there, and because he's going to be prosecuted, what role do you think that might play in providing some sort of judicial ammunition to aim at others who are involved in UFO investigations? Will it provide any judicial information or judicial ammunition for further prosecutions that could possibly be instigated against others who are involved in UFO investigations? We'll take that up when we come back, and we have some other stories we want to look at. The telephone numbers are open. It is Open Line Live, and we need to hear from you. Otherwise, you're going to get a two-hour monologue on what I think. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Open Line Live, and I've tossed out one topic, which is Gary McKinnon. I think it is an important topic. I think it is one that we are going to be seeing a lot of. We're going to be hearing a lot about it. I don't suspect that there's going to be very much reporting in the news about the UFO part of this. Once it gets here to the United States, there's not going to be a lot in the news about Gary McKinnon looking for UFO information. But if it is mentioned, I think it's going to be mentioned in terms of, first, it'll be used in terms of ridicule. And then secondly, it's going to be used in terms of after he is through the trial, I think it's going to be used in terms of providing judicial ammunition against additional UFO investigators. I could be wrong. But I can sort of smell that in the breeze. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike again down here in Kentucky.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, personally, I think that this Gary McKinnon thing is going to become a distraction for UFO investigators. And I really think that we shouldn't pay that much attention to it, but should concentrate on what's more important to us in the field. Whatever happened to Andrew and those reports in Australia Wednesday night?
He sent me a report that said that there had been a large UFO, triangular UFO, sighted in northern Australia. And he was going to send me some details about it, but I haven't, to the best of my knowledge, received any details.
Okay, I hadn't heard any more either. I was talking to one of his compadres down there in southern Australia, Tyler, today, and he said that he hadn't heard any more about that, and that he was going to contact Andrew and see what he could find out.
Yeah, that's to the best of my knowledge, I did not receive an email with further details.
Okay. Have you heard any more about any of these sightings up there in the midsection of Indiana?
No. Now, which ones in particular are you talking about? Are you talking about
the we were talking about the other night.
Okay, the triangular UFOs?
I think they were, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I have received no further information on those, and I would suspect that I will, after Dick Criswell and his group have time to dig into it a little bit and get some details. But I have not received any further details on that.
Sure, I'm a part of that IPAS group here in Kentucky, and I haven't heard anything from Dick in the last few days, so I didn't know if you'd heard any more or not.
No, I haven't. I did talk with Dick about a potential guest, and but we didn't discuss that. We stayed on the topic of this guest.
Gotcha. All right, I appreciate it. I'll get off here and let you get back to your other one. Enjoying the show. Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, so there's an opinion that this is going to be a distraction. I think it can be. I think it will be if we let it. But I think that if you just look at the Gary McKinnon case in terms of were laws broken, I think you would have to say it appears so. And that he should be prosecuted. Now, again, you may fully disagree with that, but I just can't see it any other way. Maybe you have a different take on it, and maybe you have information I don't have. But I think it's going to be pretty much an open and shut case. It would appear they've really got the information nailed down. All right, it's Open Line Live. We will discuss whatever's on your mind. How about faster than light space travel? Let me read you the opening paragraph of this article. Travel by bubble might seem more appropriate for Witches in Oz, but two physicists suggest that a future spaceship could fold a space-time bubble around itself to travel faster than the speed of light. Whenever we talk about this, it has always been in the past that if we talked about something like faster than light travel, we talked about this futuristic stuff, it has always been that there has been a lot of, you know, there have been a lot of chuckles and a lot of ridicule, and that's impossible. Well, now we've got some physicists. One of them is Gerald Cleaver, a physicist at Baylor University. And he's one of the people talking about this. Now, we're talking about serious scientists. We're talking about serious physicists. And they are talking about the possibility of traveling faster than the speed of light. And he said, think of it like a surfer riding a wave. And he said the ship would be pushed by the spatial bubble, and the bubble would be traveling faster than the speed of light. Well, I'm not real sure how you do that. But the point is that you've got some serious scientists talking about it in a serious way. In theory, the universe grew faster than the speed of light for a very short time after the Big Bang. That's what they're assuming. So let's throw a whole bunch of stuff into this stew pot and talk about the Big Bang as well. I don't buy the Big Bang theory. Now, maybe you do. I'd like to know if you do, why you do. I have a problem with a Big Bang because the theory is that everything that's out there, all the matter that's out there, came out of that Big Bang. And that it was a very, very, very small something that was a nothing that exploded. And when it expanded rapidly into all the matter that we see in space, in the universe. It expanded into all the galaxies and planets, asteroids, comets, all the little planetoids, everything that's out there, all the matter came out of this Big Bang. Now, the reason I have a problem with the Big Bang theory is pretty simple. I took science. I studied science. One of the things that they used to teach us is that in the Middle Ages, people believed in something called spontaneous generation. And they laugh about that. Scientists laugh about spontaneous generation. And they sort of chuckle about how foolish our forefathers were that they would have believed in spontaneous generation. Now, spontaneous generation works like this. Take some old rags that are kind of oily and damp and throw them into the basement of your house. Let there be a little bit of wheat sprinkled on it or rice or some other type of grain. And mice will just spontaneously generate out of that. That's where mice come from. Well, in the Middle Ages, there were people that believed in spontaneous generation. In fact, a lot of people believed in spontaneous generation. Probably the masses of people, the masses of the population, the majority, believed in spontaneous generation. But the question is, did it make it true just because they believed in it? Well, of course not. It didn't make it true at all. And so these folks that believed in spontaneous generation had to readjust their thinking after it became known scientifically that that's not where mice come from. You know, mice come from mommy mice and daddy mice. Yeah, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's where mice come from. The idea that you can get something from nothing is spontaneous generation of the greatest magnitude. Spontaneous generation, as it was believed in the Middle Ages, had to do with you throw some oily rags down and it produces certain types of animals, and put some water on it and put some grain on it and it produces other types of animals. But that's starting from something, and then spontaneously it generates something else. We laugh at that. Why would we not absolutely roll on the floor laughing at the idea that you have something from nothing? And so the idea of the Big Bang doesn't do it for me. Now, I did hear a theory that it might be more of a big blowout, and that it works this way. Have you ever blown bubbles? Remember when you were a kid and you had the little thing you dip in the soap, you know, and then you blow bubbles? Remember that? Did you ever blow one that as you were blowing the bubble, all of a sudden it sort of developed a second bubble? Now you got two of them joined together and then one of them pops? Something sort of like that might, in fact, have been responsible for the birth of the universe. I read that theory. I didn't make it up. And so that you have a universe that on one side of it, for whatever reason, sort of had a blowout and a whole bunch of matter blew through there and formed another bubble. And that was our universe. Now, that might make sense to me. But this Big Bang theory, where you have nothing and the nothing explodes, and from this explosion comes all the matter that's in the universe, including you, I find that extremely difficult to believe. But this article says, in theory, the universe grew faster than the speed of light for a very short time after the Big Bang. It would have been, if there was a Big Bang, it would have had to have been a very short period of time in which there was no light. Imagine that the smallest, tiniest little particle of nothing, but you can't have a particle of nothing, can you? And see, the question is, if all matter came from the Big Bang, where did that piece of matter come from that exploded? You follow the problem? You understand what I'm saying about that? So where did that come from? Now, maybe you've got a theory about that. Maybe you have an idea where that came from. But people talk about the Big Bang as if it's, you know, just the accepted theory, and that there's, you know, there's no question about it. I have huge questions about it, and I know scientists who have huge questions about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Yeah, Steve.
I just wanted to make a comment on the McKinnon story. And,
sure.
You know, I'm with you on that. I think that McKinnon is guilty, but I seem to recall a precedence in the past where certain individuals have hacked into government computers. And in this case, I think McKinnon, you know, he's like the lesser of two evils. I think that the government should have been doing a hell of a lot better job protecting private information and secure information. And I think the security agencies hired to do that service should be equally prosecuted, or there should be some kind of recourse to them as well. And also, I want to add another topic to your science topics, and that's an article I read today concerning, it's called ghost imaging. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but...
Can you hold on through the break?
Sure.
If you'll hold on, we'll take that first up when we come back. All right, okay. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. All right, we are back. He's not there. Sorry about that. Steve, if you want to call back in, we started having some weird things happen there as we went to break, and some weird things with the audio on the video feed. So maybe I cut you off by accident. I do apologize for that if I did. I think this is him calling back in. Is that you, Steve? Let's push the right button. Is that you, Steve?
Yeah, this is me.
We'll call it pilot error.
Okay. Yeah, that happens.
All right. Tell us about this new deal, this new information that you wanted to talk about.
Well, there was some recent articles published on what they call ghost imaging, and there's different kinds of research out on ghost imaging. One has to do with computer networks and computer hardware and this other newer technology that is, I'm not saying it's a newer technology. You know, one thing that your listeners need to be aware of is that technology that gets published has generally been in the R&D phase for like 10 years. Okay, before. In other words, when you hear about something on the news, it's already been in existence for 10 years.
Yeah,
a decade. That's pretty typical of any kind of new research. So, but anyway, this ghost imaging technology, what they're proposing to do, and what they've already proven to do, is to use photons using radar. And
okay, now wait a minute. Photons using what?
Radar.
Okay.
Okay, and what they do is they can project photons from large, long distances to penetrate, what they want to use it for, what the military reserves, what their practical use for would be to look through cloud cover and fog and see through. In other words, you're able to see through all of these different elements that usually obscure vision and to see what's on the surface. In other words, they could have a platform, a satellite in orbit that could actually shoot, they could put ghost images that are actually on the terrain that are not visible because of, let's say there could be a cloud cover, or it could be fog, it could be night. There's a lot of different things, but they developed a way to look through that.
Well, I thought they already had that.
No, they have radar that can. It's kind of like the radar in the sky. You know, what I mean, they can identify an object as being a blip in the sky, but this technology can actually identify a image. In other words, they can identify an image.
All right, so they can actually look at the terrain.
Well, they can look at the terrain. They can see what's on the terrain. Like if somebody was standing around, or if what they say is like sometimes, after an attack, let's say in Iraq, let's take this for an example, that if an F-16 dropped down a 1,000-pound bomb on a target, you know, they would have to wait till the smoke cleared to see what the results were.
Okay, so this will look through the smoke, and they can see the results immediately.
Immediately, exactly.
Well, I had not heard of that, but it doesn't surprise me, not at all.
But anyway, the key vocabulary in there is that they're using radar with projecting photons, and in the past, you had another guest on there, and I had kind of elaborated on the same subject on a different matter, discussing the same technology under different circumstances. And I think there's a lot more to this story than what they have on the news.
Okay, well, what do you think it is?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm just alluding back to what I spoke of before, is that I believe we have the technology, and I had called in when you had that guest from Stephenville for the Stephenville sightings that said that, you know, that him and his buddies were out on a campsite. Well, they weren't at a campsite, but they were just hanging out at somewhere, and they were they happened to notice these lights in the sky, and they never really did see an image of anything. It was just lights in the sky. Okay, and then that was right after these lights in the sky were seen, then they seen three or four or five or six, you know, F-16s flying through the sky. Well, I proposed that, I take it back, I didn't propose this. This was something that came from a military person that said that, well, they finally conceded and said that they were using some advanced technology that had the ability to project forward imaging systems, okay? And then what they saw was...
Yeah, I remember that call.
Okay. And so anyway, this is kind of related somewhat to that same technology. And I can't elaborate on it too much other than what you see in the news and, you know...
So you think the Stephenville thing was technology that was this forward projection technology?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's exactly what I believe. I don't believe that it was a UFO, but I believe that it's technology that was developed to use in foreign future wars where that the United States has the ability to project images into the arena of battle that are going to have a physiological and a psychological effect on the enemy. That's what I believe. And I think that they are definitely working and making strong, they're moving forward with that very rapidly.
Okay. Now, what about the fact that these, I'm going to use the term UFOs, two of them, showed up on radar down there and moved at varying speeds up to over 2,100 miles per hour?
Okay, well, okay, the speed of light, you got to remember that the speed of light, the speed of a photon is equal to the speed of light. So the speed of light is a lot faster than 2,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, so how do you get it to register on radar and show 2,100 miles an hour?
Well, I don't know. I wish I had the answer, but I don't have the answer to that.
Well, it's an interesting, very interesting theory.
You know, one thing, and that's one thing to consider with when you're talking about traveling faster than the speed of light technology. Okay, this is the key thing with the traveling faster than the speed of light. You know, is a light is a frequency. You know, sound is a frequency. Visible light is a frequency. Infrared light is at a frequency.
Yeah.
And the key thing to remember is frequency, because I believe that you had another guest that he was talking about inner universe. You know, I mean, there was a universe within a universe.
Yeah.
And what all that really amounts to is that, you know, we don't see things at certain frequencies. You know, that's why dogs have, you know, they have dog ears. They hear things that we don't hear, and there's other animals that see things that we don't see because we don't see things in certain frequencies. You know, well, but an extraterrestrial type entity could operate or could be operating in a frequency that we just don't see, and they could just be there, but
could be standing right in front of you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, I wanted to inject that as to the rest of your topics that you had tonight, and just to participate.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to deal with that frequency thing just a little bit too. Thanks, Steve, for the call.
Okay.
All right, folks, it's Open Line Live. We'll take your calls And the telephone number to call is 602-539-3316, 602-539-3316. Now, when you start talking about frequencies, you're dealing now with something that was near and dear to Mr. Tesla. And what comes to my mind is this guy, Edward Leedskalnin, who built what is called the Coral Castle down in Florida. And no one seems to know how he was able to do it. He cut blocks of stone with technology unknown. No one ever heard any power tools or anything like that, but he cut these blocks of stone. These blocks of stone, some of them are many times larger than the largest stones in the Great Pyramid. He was not known to have used any heavy equipment to move these, no tractors, no cranes. The door at the Coral Castle is 9 tons, and you can push it with your finger to open it. It is indeed a rather amazing feat. Was it some sort of vibratory frequency that he used that made it possible for him to levitate these huge stones? What do you think about that? And if that's the case, maybe he rediscovered what the Egyptians maybe used, or whoever was before the Egyptians that built the Great Pyramids. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Something out of nothing. the things you ever wanted, but you turned me away. Right now is about the time I think that I'm gonna say, if you leave here, please believe, dear, it's the last time, so make up your mind now. I'm tired of all your posturing, tired, oh yes, it's bringing me down. I've heard it all before when you're calling me out. I'll tell you like I told you before, it's so hard to see the sun in days when the weather has changed with you. You're making something out of nothing. Making something out of nothing.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. All right, we are back, and this is the Kevin Smith Show. I'm your host, Kevin Smith. It's Open Line Live tonight, and we'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind. I have thrown a couple of hats into the ring here, the Gary McKinnon story, and also this faster-than-light travel, and then that sort of ballooned into, you know, the Big Bang Theory and why I don't buy the Big Bang Theory. I don't propose to have an answer for how it all started, but I propose that the Big Bang Theory doesn't seem to me to be tenable. Although it's embraced by loads and loads and loads of people. But, and, you know, a lot of them have PhDs in physics. And, of course, then the question comes, then who am I to question it? Well, I have as much right to question it as anybody, and so do you. We have the right to question anything and everything, and it's healthy to do so and to seek for the answers and for clarification. Now, Steve in Fort Worth has proposed something that I think really does bear some consideration. I think it's very interesting. Frequency is everything, and everything is frequency. You and I are the matter that is cohesive and holds together to be us, is vibrating at a certain frequency. And then we have an electrical frequency running through our bodies, and it can be measured, has been measured. If you alter the frequency, do we fall apart? Maybe. I don't know. But maybe. But what if you alter it the other direction? Do we sort of compact like a black hole and just become, you know, a little tiny, you know, the size of an English pea? Maybe. I don't know. And I would think that that certainly would have to be a consideration for anyone who's working on the technologies involved in producing teleportation. Now, we had a guest the other night, Ted Tweetmeyer, talked about the fact that he said that it is a fact that we have workable teleportation. And he said all that stuff about, you know, they just teleported a few protons or something like that. He said that's for public consumption, that we actually do have workable teleportation. And I asked him in a private conversation, and by private, this isn't anything that he would have kept private, I'm quite sure. It was just a telephone conversation after the show. He said that, yes, you can. There are people that have been teleported successfully, and that living organisms can be teleported, but that it, he thinks, does damage at the DNA level. So, but all of these things would, you know, that it's all about frequency, isn't it? And Steve said something that I think is really interesting and really important, and that is that You know, if you had an extraterrestrial who was standing right in front of you, but was at a different frequency than you're at, you are a different frequency than what our eyes can see, he could be standing right in front of us and we would not see him or her. And I think that's true. I think, you know, I mean, obviously you're not, you're looking right now, if you're watching this on our TV channel, then you're looking at an image of me talking to you. And you can see that because it all operates within the frequencies that our eyes can see. Now, between you and the computer screen, there is ultraviolet light everywhere. There is infrared light everywhere, but you can't see it. You can't see it because our eyes are not made to see in that range of frequencies. And but it's there. And so if you had an ET that was sort of vibrationally in that frequency range, then, you know, you would be unable to see that ET. And so are they here? Well, I don't know, but, I mean, they certainly could be. If they're at a different frequency, they certainly could be everywhere all around us, and we just wouldn't see them. And there's an interesting story. You know, I've told you many times, I'm not a religious person, but I have read many times the Bible, and I certainly was, my parents, when they were raising me, took me to church all the time, and there's a story about, I think it was, I just can't remember, I think it was Joshua, somebody who knows precisely which of the biblical figures can call in and let me know. But he was about to go into battle, and he was really scared, and so there was a prophet that was with him who said, well, you know, you don't have to be scared because you've got the hosts of the armies of God are around you. And then the prophet prayed for God to open this guy's eyes so he could see. And when this happened, then he was able to see all of this angelic army all around him. Well, what if we really have the ability, and there's kind of a firewall there, but we have the ability to see into those ranges? What if that's the case? We have the ability to see, for instance, into the range of the infrared, into the range of the ultraviolet light, and beyond. What if our eyes could see it, but they're, I mean, physically they're capable, but we have sort of a firewall built in so that we don't see those things. Now, see, I've heard that suggested before. Now, wouldn't that be wild? If you could open your eyes to those frequencies and see what was really going on around you, it would be phenomenal to see what there is out there that we don't see in this frequency. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Don again. I know you say one call per show, but you're a little slow tonight. I don't know if you'll let me get away with another call or not.
I'll let you get away with it, Don. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, there's just so many things I could comment on tonight. You're talking about, you know, a great show tonight. I think you bring up some good points. And, yeah, your remarks about frequency, you know, I've often thought the same way. I think frequencies is just another term for interdimensional, many dimensions. And if these other dimensions are right here among us that we can't see, well, they're another frequency. It's like when we die and we pass over. Well, all we're doing is passing over into another frequency. We often wonder, well, where are we when we pass over? Are we spirits? Well, we're some type of form of energy that has atoms, protons, neutrons, and there's spaces in between this. And but our bodies are the same way. You know, we are made up of atoms. It's got spaces in between us. And because another dimension is not able to perceive us. We're not able to perceive them. So what is a ghost form and what is not? I think everybody is just as solid and real in their own frequency as what we seem to be in our frequency.
All right, well, let me throw this in. I'm looking at our flash messages, and I've got one from Andrew in Australia. And it says, the Earth's frequency has risen from 7 cycles per second to 11 cycles per second and is rising. I'd like to know your opinion of this, if you have one.
No, I sure don't. I really don't understand that. You know, I'm just looking at, you know, all these other dimensions as, you know, as a part of our own reality. They're just something we live within one of those dimensions that are all intermixed within our own realities. They're right here. You know, some people, like you say, what if we could see other frequencies? Some people can. Some people can see spirits and ghosts and the afterlife. And they got that ability, and I think that's part of all of us. We just kind of lost how to do that. And you were mentioning teleporting. That's another thing. You know, they you say that they come up with something that can teleport material objects. Well, we're, you know, what is material and what is not material? Because we're all made of atoms, protons, so there's actually people who report it. They say they can teleport through a spiritual sense, they can teleport themselves.
Well, one of the problems that they've had with teleportation in the past that we know about is they can teleport a rock, let's say, not a problem. Then you put a little bunny rabbit in there, and he doesn't get put back together like he should, and it's just a horrendous mess. On the other end, whenever, you know, on the receiving end where he lands. But Ted Tweetmeyer says that's been worked out and that they actually can teleport living organisms successfully.
Yeah, and I believe that's a possibility. But, you know, we're doing it on the mechanical level when people has been reported being able to do this on more of a spiritual level for hundreds of years.
Yeah, well, I would say teleportation is teleportation.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, except, you know, what you're doing, you're manipulating the teleportation through some mechanical device, electronic device, whereas I'm sure it's going to be more safer if you're doing it more on a spiritual level, you know, through a meditation process or however people do it.
What if, back to this thing that Andrew asked about, the Earth's vibrational level, its frequency is rising. What if that's being caused by the fact that we are rising up toward and maybe beginning, we're beginning perhaps to hit the outer edge of the galactic medium?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah. Now, if that's the case, then and the Earth's vibrational level is now at 11 cycles per second instead of 7 where it was, then I would suspect that if that's what's causing it, then everything on this planet is at a higher vibrational level. And I wonder how high can it go before you begin to cook? And I don't say, I'm not saying that to have something to laugh about. I'm quite serious. I wonder how high that can go before it cooks you.
Maybe it's not the idea, you know, we're going to cook, we're going to heat up and cook, but, you know, a lot of people believe in the theory that the 2012 is not the doomsday scenario like we all, a lot of us think, but it's actually a time of enlightenment. And maybe this frequency that we're picking up is increasing, is taking us into that.
Well, that could be the case. That could be the case. What do you think is going to happen to us as this vibrational level keeps rising?
Like I said, I have no idea, but like I said, if it is a spiritual enlightening, we're all going to be, I think, we're all going to be more in spiritual tune with everything around us and our fellow man.
Okay, so you don't think you? Now I'm only asking this because I am very seriously curious about this. All right, So you think we're going to be more in tune with each other, and it's going to be sort of a spiritual experience for us. How would a physical reality, like the raising of our vibrational frequency that holds us together, how would the raising of that physical reality have anything to do with our spirit?
I have no idea, Kevin. I'm just speculating.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
I don't even know if that's where we're heading. You know, as far as I know, you know, the 2012 doomsayers could be right. I have no idea. I'm just, you know, we got to look for the best, and I'm looking at, you know, 2012 as being a lightning time for us instead of...
Well, you know where I'm going to be.
Yeah, you're going to be broadcasting, and...
I'm going to be having a party in Bangkok. That's right. We're going to have a party in Bangkok, and that's if they can get all their political stuff settled down. We're going to do a party in Bangkok, and I'm going to broadcast from there, starting with when midnight strikes the East Coast all the way till it's past the West Coast of the United States. That way it will have completed the whole Earth, and then we will be into December the 22nd. If we're still alive, we're going to party on.
Hey, what will be, you know, if we're not here, we're going to be someplace else, you know. Once we pass over, if we're all killed off in this life, our life is just going to continue on, and we're just going to look back at the betterment of what we made ourselves, you know. We're going to look at our mistakes, and we're going to go on, and I don't believe life ends.
Well, I think you're right. Don, I appreciate the call.
Okay, Kevin. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, I think that the whole 2012 scenario, a lot of people are really afraid of 2012, and I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of 2012. I think that whole scenario is something for people to, we think about it, we consider, we wonder about it, but it's not something we need to worry about. Don said it, and I've said it before. If it is, you know, something, if something is going to happen that's an earth killer, we're all going to find out at the same time. But I don't think it is. I think 2012 is going to come and go pretty much like Y2K. If I'm wrong, and if I'm still able to broadcast, if I survive whatever it is that people think is happening or going to happen, and I'm able to broadcast, if I'm wrong, I will come on and tell you that I was wrong and that, by golly, you guys were right. But I really don't think that it's anything to worry about. I look forward to the future, and I think the future can be a wonderful place. I don't think it has to be gloom and doom. You know, I've been doing this show for quite a long time, and night after night after night, and I've heard, I haven't heard everything, but I've heard a lot of things, and I've sort of gotten to the point where I sort of think that it's kind of like riding a roller coaster. People love to ride a roller coaster because they get that thrill of impending doom as they go over the big hill. I think a lot of the attachment that people have to the gloom and doom theories, a lot of times that's like riding the roller coaster. They like that big thrill of going over that hill, of peering into the abyss of the future. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be that way. It may, I don't know, it may be like a roller coaster. We may feel that we're diving to destruction, and at the last minute we pull out and everything is okay. But I think we're going to survive 2012. I don't think that's going to be the end of us at all. You may have a different theory about that. The telephone number is on your screen. The telephone number is 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. Or if that one doesn't work for you, you can try the other one. And the other one is 623-237-3814. So either one of those is open to you. Now, we've got a couple of minutes here before we go to break, and I want you to think about, I mean, all of this is sort of tied up together. You have, well, except the Gary McKinnon thing. You've got frequencies. You've got advanced technology, teleportation, the Earth's vibrational level increasing, all of that happening, and 2012 looming. What does it all mean? You've got a theory about it, I know. You've been thinking about it. I know you've been thinking about it. So what do you think it means? And if you think I'm wrong and you think 2012 is going to be a catastrophic year, December the 21st, 2012, if that's what you think, please let me know, and let me know why you think that, and why you think I'm wrong about that. It's just going to be another day, and it's just going to be another year. I don't think it's going to be anything really phenomenal. Again, I could be wrong, because I think at December the 21st, 2012, I think we're kind of right in the galactic medium. And for those of you who don't know what the galactic medium is, you know, we have a solar system. And you are aware, of course, the sun has an equator, a midpoint. And if you just come all the way out from the sun, that would be the solar medium or the solar equator. And you could just extend it all the way out into space. The galaxy also has an equator. And if you extend it all the way out into space, we are about to bob up through that galactic medium. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Well, howdy, Steve. This is John from up in the Ozarks.
Hello, John in the Ozarks.
Ted's an interesting guy, isn't he, Mr. Tweetmeyer?
Yes, he is.
He is indeed. I love him like a brother. Got him on my email list and wouldn't take for him. But I kind of agree with you. I think that that 2012 date's just going to be the date where one of the Mayan guys said, you know, I'm tired of doing this. Another guy said, yeah, let's go out for coffee. And they just found something better to do. But actually, I do believe that charts the major precession of the planets. And you were just talking about the kind of like an equator.
Yeah.
And I believe we're going to probably pass through that. And I think it's kind of a thing that we've done a whole lot of times before. And we're still here somehow.
Yes, we are. Do you want to hold on through the break, or is that about wrap it up for you?
Well, I would like to, because you were talking about frequency harmonics.
All right. Okay, just hang on, and we'll be back to you after this break. All right, folks, we will return with more discussion about anything that's on your mind. We'll be back.
like a candy shop for a guy like me. So far away from reality, ordinary people and the town police saying, hey, Johnny, no mischief this weekend, okay? And he just smiles right back at them from behind his beard saying, hey, I'll make you coffee. Salute the ones that left us much too soon in the summer with a cheer.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's open line live. We have John, and John is, he said, in the Ozarks. So, John, you had something else you wanted to say to us?
Yes, sir. You were talking a little bit about traveling faster than light, and we're going to have to do that in a way other than just taking a projectile and speeding it to that point, because although the particulate matter is scattered, I believe that near light speeds we will discover that space becomes a solid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I believe there's enough stuff out there that if you're going fast enough, you're going to hit a wall. And it's just, you know.
Well, how does light then travel?
Excuse me?
How does light travel then?
Well, I think light travels... It is a particulate matter itself. I've heard it described as a wave, and I've heard it described as a... I've heard light described in several different ways, but, you know, Ted was talking about the 26-dimension model
yeah.
of the universe. That would leave string theory as kind of afraid not.
Okay.
But I believe that what we will do, we will eventually discover that Einstein was almost right when he said that matter becomes energy at near light speed or at light speed. And I think that we will find a way to accelerate ourselves in a, let's call it an envelope of plasma at a frequency that corresponds to where we're going. And we will arrive where we're going as we're leaving where we are leaving. I know it sounds just a little weird, but that's kind of how I think it's going to work.
You know, I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like you have studied this some and have maybe some technical knowledge of this.
Well, I've always been a bookworm. When everybody else was reading sixth grade stuff, I was reading Capstones from the college. I kind of had free run because my stepdad was a professor, and I enjoyed all the early theories, and I enjoyed doing some theorizing on my own, and I have also studied some pretty interesting historical cases that aren't really well known. There was one person that tried to travel through time, actually tried to put someone else back through time in a aluminum enclosure, kind of like a capsule, and back in the papers about 50 years earlier than that, they had found mangled remains that they thought might be a human in an aluminum canister that was about 3 feet tall. So he did not have a good experience. And the guy in England that got into our computers over here,
yeah.
You know, we're going to have to give him a little something. I think a nice slap on the hand and bad boy might do it, because he didn't really seem like a serious threat. I think they should really appraise the threat with him, you know, and find out exactly what his motives were, if not as he stated, which I really kind of believe they were. I think he found that our security was lacking, And I think that's probably one of the main reasons he put all the smart aleck messages in there, because whoever is supposed to be securing that stuff just simply wasn't. And, you know, that left us open if, well, the Soviets are gone, but, you know, Russia's kind of got their Russian Union started back up. And I remember when the wall fell down and the Soviet Union was over, everybody said, yeah, this is just for public consumption. The Soviet Union is not gone. And I believe that that old Russian bear is going to stand up and make big and strong. In fact, he's already kind of making some pretty good growling noises.
That's right. That's right. John, I want to thank you for your call, man.
Hey, I appreciate your time, and have really enjoyed listening to you. And I promise you, the longer you sit and talk to Ted Tweetmeyer, the stranger the world is.
That's true, John. Thank you. All right, the telephone line is 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. Let me get it up on the screen for you. And I'd be more than interested in hearing what is on your mind. Now, one of the flash messages that has come in is from Tony in Australia, and it says, Kevin, do you think there could be a World War III? Do I think there could be a World War III in years to come? He says, I hope I'm wrong, but I have a gut feeling about it. Well, yeah, anything's possible. Anything is possible. And you never really know when you get into a little skirmish somewhere what's going to develop into a world war. If you look at World War I, you had the Archduke, what was it? Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated. And although tragic, although horrific, although a terrible event that is very regrettable, the assassination of any leader, who could have believed that that would have plunged the world into the Great War, the World War I? Unbelievable. But it did. World War II was something that sort of was a boiling pot that just sort of kept getting more intense and boiling over into other areas and finally became a world war. World War I was started by one event. And like I said, who could have believed it? So could there be another world war? Yes, there could be another world war. I hope there is not. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jesse again from Louisiana.
Hello, Jesse. You're from Natchitoches, right?
Right.
All right.
I called that far-fetched story the other night, but it's pretty much the truth. I had some thoughts on what you were talking about earlier, about the beginning of the universe and such.
Yeah.
And I'm not a cosmologist, but I read and try to interpret everything I can get my hands on.
Yeah, I'm not a cosmologist either. I don't wear makeup.
Anyway, my idea is pretty much based on the theories that, you know, that's most of them spout today. And that in the beginning, before there was the universe, of course, there was no time, space, or matter. But you look at what has come into existence is energy changing into matter. But now, not only matter, but antimatter. Now, I can't get a really good description on what antimatter is, but my idea of it is that it's the idea of matter. It's not matter. It's the idea of matter.
Well, what they say it is matter that has the opposite polarity, the opposite charge. So if matter, as we know it, has a positive charge, this would be matter with a negative charge.
Yes, and when they come into contact, they collide, they destroy each other.
That's correct.
But now, you know, if you still think of matter as as like a mirror image of matter, then it can be thought of in a way of as an idea of matter.
All right.
And so that's the reason I believe that there's a God, because I believe the idea of matter had to come from somewhere. And when it came into existence, then it created the universe as we know it.
Are you familiar with the Greek Gnostics?
Not too much.
Well, that was sort of their philosophy, especially like Plato. The idea that, for instance, if you see a chair, that chair is a very imperfect model of the perfect idea chair that exists out in the universal mind, in the cosmos out there. And that it exists as a, as the chair that we know exists as an imperfect model only because there is the perfect idea of it out there.
Right.
All right, so let's see. Let me. There we go. I lost you for a moment.
Yeah.
All right, so so you think that antimatter would be the idea of matter?
Right, and that idea had to come from somewhere. But now, since then, we look at the universe and we see that it's splitting apart, and the laws of the universe have been altered by dark energy or dark matter, and now it's speeding up. But basically, what it's creating in the whole process is hydrogen and carbon and helium, which through nuclear fusion, creating the other elements, which water included, and that all the matter is pretty much basically the same throughout the universe. So that's when I believe that there's life throughout the universe. I mean, why would someone build an ocean and have only one fish?
That's a good point. Hey, man, listen, I appreciate the call. I have to move along to the next one, but les bâtons roulés, my friend.
Okay.
All right. Caller, let's see, on this line. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hello, Charles.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm calling to say that I am probably, me and one other guy are sitting here in the chat room, and wondering why there are not more people out there who are chatting with us.
Oh, well, I don't know. You know, a lot of folks don't know that it has that chat feature. We've never really talked about it. But if you're watching our TV feed, there is a little button you can click that activates a chat right there in your TV screen, on your computer screen. And so some folks may not know that's there.
Maybe not. I am talking with a gentleman from Australia, and we would like to have company.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. You have an invitation from Charles in Albuquerque and from whoever in Australia to join them in the chat. And you don't have to be a member to do that. You can just chat during the live show.
Come on in. The water's fine.
Now that I've got you, and we've only got a couple of minutes here until break, what do you think about this frequency thing?
I'm not too convinced.
What? You're not too convinced about the fact that we're moving up through the galactic medium?
Well, I hear these terms, and I find it hard to really relate them to, physical science as I know and understand it.
Uh-huh.
and where I realize that there are more things out there, more physical principles than we realize. And I think perhaps that's what we're trying to describe here. But since we don't really understand how these physical principles work, I don't really believe that we know what's going to happen.
I agree. Did you hear the show that I did when Dr. Michio Kaku was my guest?
I did.
You know, I brought that point up. I said, you know, the things that we call the laws of physics, wouldn't it be more correct to say they're just descriptions of our understanding of how it works? And he said, yeah, that's right. Charles, I got to move along. We're into a break. Thanks for
the call.
Good night. Good night. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this message. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
Well, we are on final approach, and, you know, Open Line Live is sort of a potpourri of topics. We'll talk about anything, as long as it's not politics. We'll talk about anything. I think this whole discussion, though, about frequencies, really, I think there's more in that than we have even scratched the surface of. Because it's quite obvious that something is holding atoms together. It's quite obvious that something not only holds those atoms together, but keeps clusters of atoms held together into molecules, and that something keeps clusters of molecules held together into cells and so forth, up to everything that we know, all the matter that we know. Now, those forces that bind all of that together are operating at various frequencies. And if you change the frequencies, what do you do to the matter? Now, in a way, that's the way a microwave oven works. The microwaves bombard whatever you've got in the microwave oven, and they cause them to vibrate at a higher frequency. And by causing them to vibrate at a higher frequency, they cause cells and molecules to rub against each other and create friction, and that causes heat. What would you have to do to go from here to someplace across the universe in this bubble of plasma, as one caller described it? What would you have to do to make that happen? Well, I'm not sure, but I think it would have to be something way, way, way beyond microwave. It would have to be like instantaneous. I'm not sure how you would do it. Ted Tweetmeyer says that there are technologies in existence that actually can teleport people successfully. So it must not be a mystery to everyone, but certainly it is to me, and I think probably to most of you. I think it's important that we have physicists. As I said earlier, I quoted these two physicists from Baylor University, who are talking about in a serious way that it could be done. They're talking about faster than light travel, and they're talking about it in a serious way, and they're saying it could be done. Well, we know how this works. We know, we've seen it before. They start to talk about that it could be, and then it's not too long until it becomes reality. You know, we started talking about a manned space program, and then it wasn't too long until we had men in space. Some people say we never went to the moon, but let's assume for the sake of argument that we did. We started talking about it in, 1962? The president began to talk about it, and before the end of the decade, or maybe it was earlier than that, but before the end of the decade, it had been accomplished. And so once the scientists began to say it's possible, it's doable, then it seems to be a fairly short period of time until it's done and they actually make it happen. When I left my last overseas mission, one of the last conversations I had with co-workers was with a group of other international police officers with whom I had been working, two of them from Australia. One of them, as we talked about the possibilities of going to Mars, the possibility of colonizing Mars, the possibility of terraforming Mars, he said, going to Mars with a manned mission will never happen. And I said, it's already underway. They're already working on it. And he said, it'll never happen. Well, now we know that they are, in fact, working on that. And, yes, it's in terms of our lifespan, it's a few years out there before they do it, but they've got a target date, and they're working on the technology to get there. So it's going to happen. Well, that's the way faster-than-light travel will work as well. And that is, it goes from the theoretical, the concept stage, it goes from that into the experimental stage, and from that into the technological deployment stage rather quickly. And with the way that knowledge increases, you know, it's knowledge is just doubling. The amount of things that we know, it's doubling at a very, very rapid rate. It's doubling in less than a year now, I believe. And so as knowledge, as the acquiring of knowledge speeds up, the date at which this kind of technological development could happen speeds up. And I think that it's doable. I think it's doable in my lifetime, and I'm an old guy. I'm 55 years old. That's not real old, but it is, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. And I don't have, you know, 50 years left in front of me, I don't think. And so, but I think in my lifetime, they're going to be able to reach at least the experimental stage of faster-than-light travel. I think that's going to be a possibility. There are people who say it's already been done. There are people who say that we already have secret craft that can do that. And I would love to think that we do. I don't know. I don't know whether we do or don't. I would love to think that we do. But there are people who say those already exist and that we can already travel faster than light. Now, obviously, that's not plain old rocket engines. That's P-O-R-E, plain old rocket engines. So it's not poor technology. It has to be some new propulsion system, something we don't know about out in the public domain. There are people who say that we have the ability to go to the moon and come back in a single day. Again, I don't know. Now, Charles Hall is one of the people who's talked about that, that we have craft. Actually, I think he says it's the extraterrestrials that have the craft, but that humans have made the trip with them to the moon and back in a single day. Well, it would be wonderful if we have it, and I certainly hope that we do. And the reason I hope we do is because it represents technological leaps forward in many orders of magnitude above where we know technology to be in the public domain. People say things can't be done, but they can. People say, you know, there was a time, I read about this some years ago, there was a time when the steam locomotives were just really beginning to become popular, and they were beginning to be deployed and used. And there was a big debate about having passenger cars behind the trains. And the reason was that the trains were becoming faster and faster and faster, and there were scientists that actually wrote papers in which they said it was very, very dangerous for there to be passengers behind these trains that could travel faster than 20 miles an hour. Why? Because all the oxygen would rush out and the passengers would die. There you go, establishment science hits another foul ball. All right, folks, we are out of time, and we've got to go. It's been a great week. I've enjoyed it. You have a great weekend. And join me back here on Monday for more of the Kevin Smith Show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.